Welcome to the Wolf Connection Podcast. I'm your host, John Kalfa. Let's talk about some wolves. Joining myself and Steven today on the podcast is a wonderful human being, a very funny comedian, actress. You may know her from her roles in Reno 911 and most recently here on The Goldbergs from 2013. She is Beverly Goldberg. Wendy McClendon Covey. Wendy, pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to see you again. I saw you a few weeks ago when you came up to the ranch. How are you? How's everything going?
Oh, you know, I'm very blessed, I have to say. Thank you for that introduction, number one. but yeah, I'm very lucky. I've been working since August, so luckily I've had that and I haven't lost my mind. But yeah, it's going to feel good to get vaccinated and get out in the world again.
What's it look like to work on a movie set right now?
Right now, it's very weird because you can't see anybody's face on the crew. They can see us, but we can't see them. Weird. Everybody is, you know, masked up, double masked, goggles. And while it feels very, very safe, it's also really strange because our crew, you know, we've been together so long that we are a family now. So it's weird to not be able to hug them. And, you know, I'm constantly getting in people's space and being told, hey, back up 6 feet, 6 feet. Wow. So that's something that I have never gotten used to, but I'm so grateful that we get to do it. It's weird. It adds a little time onto the process, but I'm thrilled that we're doing something.
Yeah, I was Steven, you stole my thunder there. Yeah, what are some of the changes that you've had to make since, you know, starting back up in August for you, for yourself? Is it strictly just the space or is it just the whole way that you operate as an actress and a comedian?
Oh God, it's the whole way that we operate at this point. I've gotten real comfortable with having things shoved into my nose on a daily basis. So that's different. But it's really made me more disciplined, made all of us more disciplined, because the only way we can keep going is if we behave ourselves when we're not on set. So that means holidays, forget it. Even if your family's in town, you better watch it. You know, going to the grocery store, there's like no cheating. You have to behave yourself and you can't just say, oh, no, I'm just going to take my mask off and sit on the porch with my friend for half an hour. Nope, you can't. So the discipline is there. Sleep has become like really, really important to me. And it should be anyway, but all right. Just keeping that immune system up, you know? Yeah. I just feel like I'm so boring now. I feel like my friends are on the television. Like all my friends are the characters in Family Guy, you know?
When you're on set, usually are you, when you're in front of the camera, are you ever relying on the reactions of the crew to, you know, keep morale up or to let you know that the scene's going well, or how's this affecting you in the moment when you're acting, or maybe not at all?
You know, that's a good question because I do rely on them. I do consider them our audience, our initial audience. So I know if a joke is working, the guy holding the boom will turn purple. Hey there. Hey.
Just so you guys know, there's a cat doing what cats do, which is they get in the way of everything.
Yeah, this is my teddy bear. His name is Crash, and he is irritated with all the Zoom meetings I've had today. Yeah,
of course.
He's trying to physically block me from having more Zoom meetings. But anyway, yeah, so if a joke is working, the guy holding the boom will turn purple and have to turn his face away and he's laughing. So that's when I know something works. Right. And unfortunately, I can't necessarily see that. I have to really look for his shaking.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. You know, but yeah, that's funny that you asked that. I really do consider them an audience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then if I can get the camera guy to laugh, then that's even better.
You're killing it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, because, I mean, they are your first, they're your test audience. I mean, for anything like a sitcom, that's, you know, there is no live audience. For the most part, I've seen that certain shows have tried that dynamic with a live audience during a sitcom. But especially for you guys as a scripted sitcom there, yeah, they're your first line of either it's going to work or not.
Right. And they're old pros. You know, they're jaded and they don't have to laugh at anything.
Right.
So when they do, it's like the best drug.
Love it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it's got to be such a good shot for you, like you say, that and we're happy for you that you guys, those of you on the cast and the crew for all the films that you've been working on and the Goldbergs that you guys have been able to work through this time. And it seems as though things are starting to at least swing in the positive direction with everything that's been happening in the news. So it's, you know, hopefully in the next couple of months, things will hopefully start to, you know, get back to normal a little bit. I want to ask you, how did you start? Because I was doing research on you and I saw you started actually in an improv comedy group called The Groundlings. And just what's the difference with that as an improv than when you go into, you know, scripted comedy? What's really the major difference in dynamic there when you were starting?
Yeah. And I know that's kind of a weird choice to start with improv, but it worked for me. I had seen a show at the Groundlings, like back in my early 20s. And I was so blown away because it was sketch comedy and improv. So you focus on all of those things at that theater. And I was so blown away by what they did. I thought, if I could ever do that, that would be so major. Like if I could ever get on stage and hold an audience's attention like that, oh my God, I'd feel like Wonder Woman. Well, it only took me 4 short years to get up the courage to call them and book myself into classes. And not only that, my best friend at the time had to do it for me because I was so nervous. My hand was shaking, you know, with the phone. So I started there and I thought, you know what? If I suck, I'll figure that out right away and I just won't go back. You know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. But I was okay at it. And I kept going and I kept going. And one thing about that place is that if you're not good at it, they will not keep you around.
Right.
So you can get dismissed at any time. And I just never did get dismissed. And luckily, I married a very nice man who was literally the only person who encouraged me ever to get into this. So I had a very unusual situation in that I grew up and got married, and that's when things took off. Like, I needed the freedom of a marriage to get, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't happen like that for many people. So I went through that program. I got on the main stage in the main company, and things just sort of started spitballing from there. That's when I finally got an agent. That's when I booked my first real gig. And I've been, knock on wood, working steadily ever since. But it's interesting because now that I know about wolves and how the wolf packs operate, I see a lot of that in theater companies.
Mm.
You know, who's the alpha? Who's the nanny?
Yeah, like what did you see early on then that now that you know this, what did you see early on in your career when you were starting in improv and now even on your with your Goldberg family, with your Reno 911 family, like what have you seen how those dynamics are and how it relates to Wolfpack?
Yeah, I've noticed that there are some people that are just always gonna be in that role. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, whatever group they go into, they're always going to be the nanny. They're always going to be, what do you call the, like the class clown in the pack?
Oh, the Omega.
The Omega. There's always going to be an Omega who's bringing up the rear, you know, and kind of keeping up the morale. It's just so interesting. And you know, I noticed it before and not couldn't contextualize it, but once I started learning about the wolves, it's like, oh, wow, that really is something that you can't teach somebody. It's not learned behavior. You can't make someone an alpha if they're not an alpha.
Yeah.
So interesting how people fall into those roles.
Yeah, and when someone's in the wrong role, or not the wrong role, but a role that doesn't quite suit their natural tendencies, it's so obvious. You know, it's not natural for them to be in that role. It ends up looking more, I don't know, like everything's tight, everything's tense, everything's a rush, everything's aggressive. It just never seems quite grounded.
Right. And the tendency is for us to look at them like, oh, they're bad at their job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. It's just, that's not their role.
Right.
You're asking them to do something that will never work in any
mm-hmm.
capacity. It's not their fault. You're just they're expected to do something that they aren't made up to do.
Right. And they're trying to be strong and do it.
You know? Right. Yeah.
What do you see yourself as? Because now that we're on this, like where have you been up here to Wolf Connection, I would say at least half a dozen times. You've sponsored Annie a bunch. What have you seen for yourself that's sort of come out of it?
I have noticed my tendency to try to make everything okay all the time, for better or worse. So in a professional capacity, I would say the nanny.
I've noticed that with...
I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm just saying that's what I see myself trying to do. That's where my instincts go.
Yeah. I feel like it's an ever-shifting process too, because you could be a nanny one day and then you could be a beta the next. And that's what's really great about it, is that you're not necessarily stuck inside of this role for all time. And I think that's something that we as humans could probably learn a little bit more of, that we're not necessarily this one person, one, you know, all these emotions wrapped up, that we can be something different all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in different places, like you're going to be in a different role with your family than you are in the workplace, than you are with your friend group. Like there is that, you know, variety in it.
But what was that like for you? So, because you mentioned that you married Greg, who, awesome. I love Greg. He's really, really awesome. That's Wendy's husband. And so you met him while you were in the groundlings. And then I was reading up that when you went for the audition for Reno 911 to be Clementine Johnson, that you kind of had the same approach as you did for the groundlings. You were sort of, I'm going to go in, I'll see how it goes. And, you know, if I get it, if great, if I don't get it, no big deal. So was there a shift that you saw for yourself as a professional from the groundlings to that first, maybe not your first audition, but your first maybe major audition for a series like that?
Well, and let me just correct something. I met Greg before I started the groundlings. So anything I did trying to get into this business in earnest happened because he was the only one that said, yeah, just try it.
Mm.
My parents were like, absolutely not. But Greg was the one that said, no, please go try it. Get it out of your system. You know, it's either going to work or it's not. We'll be fine either way. So when Reno came around, I had just gotten into the groundlings in the main company. And then I didn't have an agent. I didn't have anything. And so I was getting really frustrated, like, okay, well, I have this opportunity with the groundlings, but if I'm not getting to go on any auditions, what the hell am I doing?
Mm.
You know, I was frustrated because I'd go into the theater and I would hear everybody talking about, oh, did you go in for that part? Oh, I got a one line on Friends. Oh, I got, you know, did you audition for this commercial? And I'd be pouting in the corner because I wasn't auditioning for anything. But I subbed for somebody in a play one night, and the casting director for Reno saw me and brought me in.
Wow.
But at that point, I was like, I don't even care anymore. I'm probably not going to get it. So I'm just going to go in. And whatever comes out of my mouth comes out of my mouth. They wanted like a sexy cop. Well, I can't sell that, but I can sell someone who thinks they're sexy. And that's funnier. So that's what I'm going to do. And so I just went in and I just threw it all at the wall and walked away and was like, whatever. I'm, you know, I got an hour and a half to sit in traffic. I'll shake it off. By the time I got home, they had called me and they were like, oh my God, come back tomorrow. Do exactly what you did today. Because I think we're on to something. And then it was, you know, off to the races after that. But I think it was that mindset of just, who cares? That, you know, because people can sense your desperation.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so can the wolves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm always trying to bring it back to the wolf.
No.
But they can sense your emotions. And if you're too needy, they don't want you.
Yeah. Now that you've been to Wolf Connection, you're, it's over. Everything's just going to be.
Please. I go howl at the moon just on my own.
And it's, but what you say, like everything you said, even in that moment, though, even this is, and this is well before you knew us, you're already acting in the way that the wolves do. You're not, you know, you're throwing caution to the wind, not throwing caution to the wind, but you're just like, this is who I am. And this is what I'm going to profess to everybody else. And, you know, you have that support system now, or you had that support system with Gray. You still have it to this day. And it's such a beautiful way of you saying this stuff now where you're like, man, this really, all this stuff finally clicks. It's pretty cool to see that in hindsight.
Yeah, no, it really is. And again, one of the lessons I've learned from the wolves and the many times that I've been there is they stand in their truth. They stand in their own personality. They apologize for nothing. They are not going to bend to your will. And that's kind of how we all should be living, right? I mean, if we're living with integrity and living our as our best selves, then we should all kind of be living that way. And nothing started happening for me until I made the deal with myself that, you know, maybe I'll never make any money doing this. But I have to do this now. Now that I know what my life is like with it, I can't go back to not having it. So even if it never brings in any money, I love doing it. So I'm going to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's when everything fell into place. Just declaring that authenticity.
Yeah.
Do I sound weird? I don't want to sound like, you know.
No.
Tony Robbins here.
No, what's beautiful about this and about you and your outwardness about it is that it's a natural reflection, I think, of who was probably something that was in you all along, and it burst open and you said, as you just said before, this is who I am and there's no need to apologize for it. And that's, again, like you said, one of the lessons we teach up here. One of the things we try and teach with the students and the kids and the anybody who comes up here is that you need to be your true authentic self. And I think it's so difficult because we're all, the three of us here on this podcast are involved in some sort of medium where sometimes that's not exactly, like you said before, maybe it's not welcomed as much as it probably should be. So when someone realizes that, it's beautiful and open and amazing to see that. So no, it's not weird.
Yeah. And I think to be as talented as, you know, you are. And yeah, I think just in general, what comes with like genius in any art form is just people who are willing to go down the rabbit hole, even though they have no idea what's down there. But it's just this unwavering curiosity that outweighs the fear of, you know, what might not be there.
Yeah. No, it's true. And we get that kind of, I don't want to say beaten out of us, but scared out of us as children, don't we?
Right.
Like, you know, oh, yeah, you're great at playing the guitar, but no one makes any money doing that. So how about medical school? isn't your happiness and your mental well-being like more important than any of that?
Should be.
You know, a lot of us kind of get talked into lowering our expectations of what life should be like just because it fits someone else's comfort zone.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
Yep.
Which is just, you know, it makes us all go on medication. Okay, maybe I've said too much.
No, but you're right though. And I mean, it's, again, I think it just comes back to that we are, there's an awakening that happens when you finally realize it in yourself and, you know, with an assist from whatever it may be. It could be from a partner. It could be from, you know, Stephen has told me the story, you know, where same thing, the guitar was literally what he would tell me is that, you know, he wanted to play the guitar, make a living at it. And he went for it, moved out to LA. So, I mean, it's just, it's whatever makes that snowball effect happen. And you just have to roll with it and see and follow it.
Yeah. And the worst of it is even after you have the courage to go down that path, you're like, I don't know what's at the end of this. And but you even after you have the courage to go down it and it seems to be working out to some degree, you're still absolutely insecure about it the whole freaking time. Which is a product of that, you know, that messaging.
Yeah. And the imposter syndrome.
That's the worst.
Which I'm waiting to leave my brain any day now, but I think it's here to stay. But yeah, that imposter syndrome of, well, someone's going to figure out that I have just been bluffing my way through this for 30 years.
No, I mean, how did you find us, by the way? Because I don't think I've ever heard the initial, you know, how did you find us and come up here the first time?
I had been hearing about you guys on Instagram. And I was like, oh, that looks like so much fun. Oh, I got to look into that. I got to look into it. Months go by. And then another girl from the Groundlings, Allison Dunbar, I saw she had gone out and she had these beautiful pictures that she posted. And I was like, okay, that's my sign. We got to go. So we just like bought the tour and went out. I had no idea what we were in for. And it was like the minute we even drove through the gates, it felt like, oh, like a big gulp of oxygen. Because it really is a special place, you know? It is a soothing balm just being out there on the ranch. And then when we sat, you know, we sat in the circle and this was just like the first 10 minutes. People were getting emotional. And it was like, okay, there's something going on here. There's something in the air here at Wolfheart Ranch. And then when we started hearing the stories of all the babies, it was like, okay, well, you guys are going to be seeing us a lot. We are now addicted to this place. And we're going to tell everybody we know about it. We just had the best, most magical day that first day. And I mean, I don't know how many times we've been since, but I mean, I guess it's only been 2 years that we've known about you guys. And we tell everybody, like, honestly, we have not been on vacation in 5 years. But if we can get out to the ranch for 3 hours, it's like, okay, we're good. We're good. We're soothed. So yeah, that's how we found it. It was just a, you know, we just took one of the regular tours.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that was my follow-up was going to be, how does it, you know, impact you when you get here? And that was just beautiful how you walked through the entire tour about that. I actually remember when you were on the tour, I don't know if you remember this, that there was a group of women, I think they were sisters. There were two, like a couple of sisters who were there and they recognized that you were there, I think towards the end. They're like, oh my goodness. And they realized that they're like, we watch the Goldbergs all the time. It brought us back together. I don't know if you remember this moment. And it was such a touching, yeah. Yeah, share that. Cause you had that, it was for you, not for me. But do you remember that a little bit?
Yeah, we had gone through like the whole experience, which is usually about 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you kind of bond a little bit with these total strangers, and you know, you're taking pictures with people and just fawning over these beautiful animals. And at the end, we're going to our cars, and this group of people, they're like, "We watch the Goldbergs all the time, and it was because of your show that we reached out to this sister and our father." It was something about they were estranged, but watching the Goldbergs made them contact each other. I mean, you can't give me a better present than that. You know what I mean? To say that some dumb thing I did made any impact on someone like that. I'm getting choked up now, but it was so beautiful. And of course, where did I hear about it? Wolfheart Ranch.
Of course.
The most magical place in California. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really special. And yeah, I'll never forget that.
What made you, because I know you work with animals. Stephen and I were looking at some stuff that you've done with PETA before. So what made you, when you came here to Wolf Connection, and I believe you sponsored Annie the last couple of years, what was it about her that struck you? For those who have been listening, and you can check on our website. So Annie is our only tripod wolf here. She has three legs. You can read up more info on the website. So what are the, like, what struck you to make that connection and that bond with her when you sort of came through and made the thing to sponsor?
Well, we have a tripod kitty. And she was found, this is a terrible story. A friend of ours was driving on the freeway in the slow lane and saw a kitten stuck in the sound wall. So she pulled over, got the kitten out. I mean, how the hell did she get? I don't even want to know. Fostered this kitten, had to get her leg amputated. And we were like, we'll take her. If you bring her over here and she doesn't spaz out, we'll take her. Something about this cat makes us want to take her. Okay. We have six cats, P.S. And just knowing that she's fine. She's a tripod, but she's the fastest out of our whole brood. She makes the most mischief. She can climb anywhere. She's doing fine. We react to her like, oh no, look at the poor kitty who's missing a leg. She doesn't need our sympathy. Hearing Annie's story, and it's pretty bad. Annie came from some terrible conditions. If you guys want to read about it, I suggest you go to the website. It's really awful what the poor thing went through. And just looking at her and the way she's able to boogie around, missing a front leg, she can still, put rocks on her house? Like, she's still, she does not need your sympathy. We will never probably get to pet her. She's feral, right? She's not one that can go walking with guests. But she ended up where she needed to be. And if that's not a metaphor for life, I don't know what is. Like, your past doesn't define what you're going to become. And you can overcome things. And I know that sounds cliche, like, you know, everything that happens to you just makes you stronger. Well, yeah, it can. It can also make you a bitter human being who's miserable to be around. But Annie is a survivor. And whatever we can do to help that little girl hang in there, that's what we're going to do. She just enchanted us.
Love it.
I would love to nuzzle her, but I get it. We're not going to get to. We'll just take some nose boops through the fence and that's okay.
And the cool thing about Annie is not only is she like capable, but she's so complete. If you want to learn what a wolf is like, Annie's that part of your training, even with three legs.
Yeah, like somehow she has turned having three legs into an asset.
Right.
You know, it's certainly not held her back in any way.
No.
So, yeah, we just have a soft spot for those tripods.
No, and it's good on you for, I mean, it's beautiful what you do, and the fact that you know, you fostered, what's the name of the tripod kitten, by the way?
Oh, her name is Wabi Sabi. So that's the Japanese phrase for like perfection and imperfection.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Cutie.
Man, you're killing it. We should have Wendy write some of the taglines for Wolf Connection and also be like part of, because you've said so many things where I'm like,
oh, that'd be awesome.
we could just put it in quote, like, you know, put it in quotes on the board outside as you ride in and just be like, you know, quote, and then, you know, underneath Wendy McClendon Covey. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you've said so many, you said, but you, man, you just
feel free to, because any of my nuggets of wisdom, and you don't have to credit me.
Well, it only completes it if we do it. It's got to be credited.
It's got to be credited. I mean, what was it like? Because you brought a bunch of your colleagues and your friends here. What was the interaction, not the interaction, the discussion to bring them and say, you guys need to follow us to this place? And, you know, how did you leave it? Was it just sort of open-ended? Was it, did you give them all the details? How did you sort of describe it and bring your colleagues and friends here?
Well, you know, never underestimate the power of Instagram, because, you know, the pictures kind of say it all. And everybody knows that I'm like a crazy animal person. And all my friends are kind of crazy animal people too. And everyone's looking for something to do where they can just get out and have a respite from the city. And people forget that, like, right in our backyard is Acton, California, which is, I mean, it seems like you're traveling to a different state almost, you know, but it's right there. It's right in our backyard. And when I have fun doing something, I like to tell the whole wide world. And I also wanted, you know, I thought, you know, you guys can kick a couple of bucks to the wolves. Hello. You're looking for something to donate to? I've got something you can donate to. But every time we take someone out there, the feeling is the same, like, oh my God, when can we go back? When can we go back? How can we get the word out? And I don't know, you know, if there's, I don't know how that's shown up, but I just know, you know, we want to introduce as many people as we can so that more people know about it and can take advantage of it and, you know, expand that cause, because I think it is important that the ranch expands. You know, you guys are always taking in emergency cases, right? You've had a few since we've been out there, correct?
Yeah, we've rescued a couple, and we've been lucky. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah, we've the last 3 to 4 rescues that we've had, that we have actually been on the younger end. And so for those who know the mission, we don't breed here. All the animals are spayed and neutered, but some of the wolves or wolf dogs that we do take in, sometimes they can be on the younger end. They could be 3 to 4 months old. And so, yeah, we've had, you know, I just want to say that the fresh opportunity to where we can see from really as a pup to hopefully old, healthy age, how they can integrate into the pack. So yeah, we've had a couple that we've been able to rescue lately that have been on the young side.
And, you know, I had my friend Jennifer, who is also on the Goldberg sometimes. The last time we were out there, she was able to bring her two boys, and they've been going stir crazy during this pandemic and acting out, and like, they're just sick of being at home. Yes, they can go to the beach sometimes and surf, But other than that, they are just dying to not look at computer screens all the time. So we invited them out and they had such an amazing experience that they are now sending us wolf articles all the time. Like they are so into it now. And the funny thing is, on a completely separate note, once I learned what a wolf dog was, I thought that was a made up thing. But it is not a made up thing. And now I see them everywhere. Mm. And it's so concerning knowing that if they get found out, they will be destroyed.
Mm. Yeah, I saw a lot in LA when I lived there.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about ego. It's all ego. Like, oh, I gotta have the biggest, baddest, weirdest dog and parade him around. No, you don't care about that animal. Mm. You just want to parade your stupidity up and down the street. And this poor thing does not want to live with you. Like, oh, it makes me so mad. So thank God for Wolf Connection and, you know, the sanctuaries. But wow, it's amazing that this is something that happens.
Yeah, it's a deeper issue.
And who's that little sweetie pie that you keep playing with?
Another cat who wants to be in our business. This is Bo.
We got two.
The dog's out, so they're being brave.
Yeah, Steven's on a ranch out there, so he's got all sorts of free space for them to run around and play and everything.
It's amazing.
Yeah. What is it like to have that connection, like that connection grow with your friends into a different space? Because I don't know, again, I'm not in the, you know, the professional, you know, on the acting side of it. And there's that, like you said, there's that type of a family, that sort of a work. And you obviously build bonds and friendships from all of that. What is it like to sort of extend that to sort of a different sphere of your world? So that people can say, oh, Wendy, because obviously they know you're an animal person, but to really be able to, you know, sort of hug them and bring them into this new space. What has that been like for you and your friends?
That's been one of the greatest things ever, because that's something that you can share that kind of goes beyond words. You know, you can't describe that feeling when you are put into an opportunity where everybody's guard comes down and the truth comes out. And, you know, not like anyone's hiding any big secrets, but, you know, we all have our professional faces and our, you know, the roles that you take on when you're just meeting people. You know, you've got your little persona that you take on, you know what I mean? And when you go out to the ranch and you're out in nature and there's really nothing to prove because you're not working, you're not being judged, you're just all there for the same experience, your emotions just are sitting right on the surface. And I don't know about anyone else, but I can say for me, whenever I'm out there, I'm just like this far away from bursting into joyful tears. And I think my friends are too, because whenever you hear one of the wolves howling and then they all start in, everybody goes, like it catches in their throat and everything stops. And you feel that just primal howling in your bones. And it's, God, there's just nothing like it. And I'm thrilled that, you know, that I've been able to share that with people. You know, I don't know if I answered your question, but.
Yeah.
No, you did. And it's wonderful to see, because like you, to me, all the times that I've had the pleasure of meeting you and, you know, having the experiences with you as a, you know, either a host or as a handler and things like that, it's, to me, it seems, at least from an outsider's perspective, that you're, it doesn't seem as though there's a persona for you. It seems that I've met Wendy McClendon Covey on her level every single time. And it's rare to see that. And it's good that it's able to percolate inside of your, you know, the friend circle that you have, and that, you know, it's sort of reverberating out in a way where you're really the epicenter. You're the one that's spreading the word and having your friends do that. And that's, we're obviously incredibly appreciative of that. And it's great to have you as this go-between. And it's as you're, you know, and part of our pack. I mean, you are part of our pack. Let's be frank.
Well, don't you just kind of feel like we're all sort of kindred spirits? Like the people who are supposed to find you. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of when and, you know, but you, I don't know. I guess that's kind of the way I'm choosing to see things right now is like, you can't control shit. But, you know, the right people will always come together. That's just a theory that's convenient for me. I don't know. I don't know if it makes any sense, but
I think it's true.
No, it's totally true. I mean, yeah. I mean, have you seen that? I mean, have you seen that through the course of your career and through your personal? I mean, I'm sure there's been many changes with that, but it seems as though things have sort of fallen the way they've supposed to fall for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And what I've learned, and I wish I could have learned this earlier, is that things and people will fall away and they are supposed to. Don't get too caught up mourning those things. Because I'm someone who holds on to things too tightly. So if it's not yanked away from me, I'll hold on forever. So I make that harder on myself. But things are supposed to go away to make room for the good stuff. Hmm. So if you just settle in, you know, enjoy that free fall for a little bit. Some people can't. But if you just trust you are on the right path, you will never starve. Okay. You're just not gonna. You're never gonna be alone. The right people and the right opportunities will always show up. Just quit worrying about it. Because that's not making them show up faster.
No, slower usually.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that. Does that, because every time I watch the Goldbergs, I feel like Beverly is that person. Is that how, do you draw on any of what you just said for Beverly in that way because of the way, and I know it's all based on Adam's real life family. So is there a connection there?
There is definitely a connection there. And there was, I mean, that's how my mom was with us. She was a smother. And, you know, we lived a shame-based existence, you know. That's just how we were raised. So I will say that, and she'll say this herself. We make Beverly on the show seem a lot nicer than she is. This again is, you can read through her own tweets and see what I'm talking about. But yeah, there is, and I don't have any kids, okay? But I can't say I would be any different if I did have kids. I would probably hold on so tight and be so embarrassing, but that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't, it makes you feel like you're controlling the situation, but you're not.
And I've seen that, it's interesting because on the show, I see that where Beverly has these epiphanies, you know, and it's, I'm sure there's obviously scripted and written in a certain way, but it's interesting the way that you're describing it that, and I just watched last week's episode and you see that progression where it's the hold on tight, the clenching, and oh my goodness, I need to control and all of this. And then when it sort of washes away, the situation handles itself the way that it probably should have the whole time for her in the show. So it's just, it's so interesting that you're able to bring that from some personal experience and showcase that for everybody out there and, you know, on TV.
And that, thank you for saying that. But again, how many parents and just human beings in general, we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like, you're always going to apologize. You're going to act first and apologize later. That's just how parents do things a lot of times. And, you know, it's a joke at this point because Beverly apologizes pretty much at the end of every episode. And I said, why don't you just finally make her say, I'm sorry I did that, but you know, I'm going to keep doing it. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a continuation of a, you know, of a larger story.
That's a mom thing. My mom still does the same thing.
I think all moms are that way. I mean, Stephen and I coming from Italian families, it's just, that's the way it goes. That's the way Italian moms are. And, you know, they'll you know.
It makes being from a bigger, like, I mean, I don't, John, you probably have a similar size family to mine. Just like cause you know, Italian families can be enormous, but it made it fun when my family was bigger. When some of the older folks were alive, we used to call them the golden girls and stuff. Like, they just have, like, they're stuck in these ways for so long, but a lot of times it's just harmless and funny.
But that must have been fun to grow up in a big family where you had that comic relief and you knew everybody loved you.
Exactly.
They just had to yell it to you.
Yeah. Right.
You just have to scream.
Adds impact.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Stephen's mom, but my mother, and, you know, she's, this is going to be hilarious because now she's being talked about on the podcast, you know, so my mom is, you know, 5 foot, she's five, she loves
she
it.
Listens.
She does listen. I had a funny conversation with her last night about it, that she was losing data because she was listening to the podcast and I had to tell her she can't do that. Anyway, she's like, my data is running out. And I go, Mom, it's because you're walking while listening to the podcast. It's a thing. It was a whole thing. Anyway. But she's, you know, my mom's all of 5 feet tall. And all of us, I mean, I'm over 6 feet. My sister's over, you know, so we're all taller than her. So you can imagine the conversations that happen in a large setting where, you know, we always used to joke and be like, Mom, we'll just put you in our pocket and we'll take you around and, you know. But it's just that, like you said, it all comes around into this comedic, wonderful, you know, pack family that you're like, man. And Stephen, you're right. Like, and Wendy too. When you have, you know, I was lucky enough to have great grandparents alive. So it was just, you had this dynamic of, man, how did they get here to this point? And just all the stories that I'm still hearing now, listening to now. But I mean, it's just fascinating. It's fascinating how you draw these things, and to see some things played out is really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moms.
So you guys were blessed to have, you know, giant families that loved you and gave you a lot of comic relief.
It's true. Oh man, they were funny.
They still do. There's still a lot of comic relief.
Yeah.
man, I mean, let me ask you, Wendy, if you were to describe, because you've done it with your friends already, if you were to see someone on the street randomly and they asked you, they go, oh, I hear you go to Wolf Connection, you work with Lima, like, what's the thing, what are some of the things that you would hit on and say about Wolf Connection if you were just to meet a stranger on the street?
Okay. I would say, prepare to have your heart explode in the best way. Mm. You're going to go out in the wilderness. You're going to be surprised that you are where you are, that you're really only about an hour away from Los Angeles,
right?
But you're in the middle of this enchanted space. Okay. You're going to start feeling all your senses are going to become heightened because there's something about being around those mountains that just permeates all your senses. Okay. Everything's going to smell a little better. Like your smell, sense of smell will be heightened. You're going to smell what clean air smells like. And you're going to be like, wait, it has a smell? Oh my God. You're going to meet some of the most amazing people that you've ever met in your life. You're going to just be captivated by these gorgeous creatures. So you're going to be driving home feeling like, oh my God, what? You're going to be processing it for weeks. Mm. 1 3-hour trip to Wolf Connection is going to occupy your thoughts for a good long time. And once you, if you go once, you'll definitely go 2, 3, 4 times. You can't just go once. It will have your heart forever. So, yeah, it's 3 hours and it's going to feel just as good as a week long vacation.
What do you think it is about wolves howling that just like gets everybody?
God, let me see if I have the language to explain this, because it is just a really primal thing. Yeah. And you think you know what that sounds like because of movies, maybe.
Mm.
It's probably where most people have heard that before. But until you hear it in person, it's like hearing a lion roar or an elephant. Do they roar? I don't know. They make those.
I was just trying to summon the word of what they do. I don't know.
You know, they make elephant noises.
Yeah, you know that noise.
Yeah.
But until you hear it in person, you don't understand what it means to like feel that in your cells.
Mm.
You don't just hear it. It vibrates within you. That sounds so weird. And yet I don't know how else to explain it. Okay. This is going to make me sound like a lunatic, but I bet you guys will understand.
I like it.
It might make you start thinking about past lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost an evolutionary thing. That howl. And hearing them call to each other, it's just delicious. I don't know how else to describe it. And when we go on those full moon hikes, sweet Lord in heaven, that is so special. Hearing them howl and then hiking just by the light of the moon. Oh, come on now. I'd rather do that than go to the spa.
The moon up there is cool too, because you can see everything without a flashlight. It's just bright.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. I can't wait to do that again.
Yeah, it's like an untampered with sound. It's just, I don't know. Everything's such an, I don't know, so messed with lately.
Yes. That sound maybe that's is just what like, I'm trying to say. Everything is so manufactured that we
hear.
That to hear real sounds, wow, what a jolt back into reality that is.
Never changed.
And you're right, that visual of the moon up there, because it's so close and so big when it comes over, if you get the opportunity when it starts to actually come up over the mountains, and you're like, whoa, you're like, it was really dark and now it's really bright. And it's so incredibly energizing because you don't realize it until it hits.
That's definitely worth mentioning, that it's these wolves on this very specific property. That's just like a combination that is, you know, you can't beat it.
Right. Right. And when you go out on that moonlit walk with the wolves, you realize how busy the mountains are, all the critters. All the nighttime critters, you know, the wolves are reacting. You can see them reacting. And then once your eyes adjust, you're like, oh, what was that? What was that? You know, you start to see how it's busy out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's like being on another planet. And you do feel like, oh, if I just walk 100 more feet, I could just touch the moon with my finger. That close.
Yeah,
it's true. It's a beautiful experience. I'm gonna ask our last question, but then I want to promote everything that's going on with you right after it. And you've said so many beautiful and wonderful things. So I'm gonna put you to the test one more time. When you hear the word wolf, what is something that comes to your mind?
I think of a protector. I think wolves are very misunderstood, but now knowing what I know, I think of a wolf does whatever they do for the good of the pack. So the first word that comes to my mind, no matter what their position of the in the pack is protector, because everybody's working to protect the pack.
Yeah. And our streak continues, Stephen. We've had 35 individuals on this podcast, and everyone has said something completely different. And it's fascinating. It really is. It's fascinating to hear it. And it should be noted, because it's just amazing what every different person who comes on thinks of, whether it's scientific, personal, whatever. And it's just amazing to hear that it's all different for the amount of people we've had on so far. So Wendy, please let everyone know where they can follow you on Instagram. Please, I'll mention this. So I know the Goldbergs airs on ABC Wednesdays, 8 p.m., 7 Central. We were talking before, you have 3 movies that have come out recently. So please promote those, where they can find them and where people can view your stuff.
Well, movie wise, I am the queen of cameos this year. I've got a little part in a movie called Sylvie's Love, starring Tessa Thompson and Namdi Asmoa, and that's on Amazon right now. I have a little part in Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, with Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo. If you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're waiting for. It is bonkers. And you can watch that wherever you rent movies, Vudu or Amazon Prime, wherever. And starting tomorrow, there is a movie called The Long Weekend that's actually being released in select theaters and drive-ins, starring Finn Wittrock and Chloe Chow. And let's see. Oh, and I'm on a cartoon called Big City Greens on the Disney Channel. I play a mom who rides a motorcycle. It's the part I was born to play.
That's great.
That's every Saturday on the Disney Channel. And that's about it for now.
Nice.
I've been busy. I've been lucky to be busy.
No, you're busy. And then where can they find you on Instagram?
Oh, on Instagram, I'm at Wendy with an I. I know. McClendon, McLendon. And then my other last name, Covey, Covey. I make it confusing.
One of the longest Instagram names we've had.
If you can spell all those things, you'll find me on Instagram.
Man, Wendy, this has been really awesome and just incredible. Again, can't thank you for you being you, coming out here, being a part of Wolf Connection, being a part of our pack, supporting us, and just spreading the word and just being the awesome human being that you are and coming on this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and for always being so sweet to, you know, me and my husband and our motley crew of friends whenever we come out. You guys are the best. So thank you.
No, it's our pleasure. Yeah, everybody, follow Wendy, look at all the movies. Definitely recommend the Goldbergs and obviously all the shows that she's on. Happy that you're working. give our best to Greg. He's awesome. And yeah, howls to everybody out there. And Steven and I will talk to you all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Looking to support Wolf Connection or sponsor one of the wolves in our pack? Just go to wolfconnection.org, click on the donate tab, and find out more information.